The key to success is to know one's self. You have to be able to understand who you are to get to where you want to be faster as your authentic self. And I am honored to bring on for season two of the Abundant Mind Show, the one and only Brian Boger. Brian, welcome to the show, brother.
What's up, Jake? I'm happy to be here, brother.
Hey, great to see you. We just had an incredible event a few days ago that, I mean, you are absolutely by far the famed speaker, everyone's favorite. I love who you are. I love what you're doing when it comes to allowing us to understand ourselves better, understanding our triggers and what it is that really makes us tick so that we can be our best self. You are the male Brené Brown. You are moving waves when it comes to teaching people a totally different aspect of what vulnerability really means and how we can heal through our triggers. So, and again, happy to have you on today. So how did you get to this point? Because you had some super successful businesses when it comes to this. How did you get here? How did this become your passion?
Well, you know, I'm a big believer that like purpose and passion sometimes find us. We don't find it. You know, I didn't grow up like thinking I was going to come into the world like speaking and coaching and, you know, building businesses. But, you know, the more time that went on, the more it just became very, very evident. You know, you obviously know, and I'll, given the time frame today, just kind of hit it at a very high level. But I think it's important to note that, you know, very early in life, I got knocked down pretty hard. When I was 7, I was run over by a truck. My left arm was completely severed from my body. Was reattached, 24 surgeries, years of struggle and adversity. And really the dynamic and balance between understanding intellectual and emotional narratives and how do we heal in different periods of our time and life. And, you know, despite the fact that, you know, my partners and I had built and scaled a very successful $15 million risk management employee benefit consulting firm, I also found myself really disconnected from myself, very isolated, very alone. And, you know, not really being the husband, man, and father that I always said I was going to be. And so, you know, I, about 10 years ago, really embarked upon a journey of my own internal path to really see myself more clearly so I could move faster with less effort. And it was about 2019 that my wife finally gave me a pretty big push and nudge and said, Brian, you know, you're living well below your potential. You're not having the impact on the world that you want. And you're dying a little bit inside every day you live in insurance. So she said, why don't we double down on the bet that we took and let's go see the impact we can have on the world. And, you know, here we are today.
Wow. So, I mean, literally, when you say you got knocked down, you know, I feel like I've just been able to get to know you so well, and I feel so privileged that you've led us into that part of your life, to be able to share that experience you've been through. And you said something to me several months ago that has hit me so hard. I mean, it shook me because I have not been through what you've been through. Very little people on this earth have been through what you've been through. We all have our personal trials and struggles, but you had said something that hit me. You had said, I have learned, don't quote me on quoting you. but you said to basically to the degree, I have learned for a fact that it is not the physical that holds us back. It is not physical limitations. And you are the guy who literally had your arm torn from you. And the physical and the emotion, everything you've had to go through. And that hit me hard. You said it is right here and it is right here. It is that, what do you call it? It's that 18-inch gap, right?
18-inch gap between our heads and our hearts. And I, you know, that was quoted a long time. I don't know if it was Lao Tzu or somebody had talked about that centuries ago. But yeah, I think it's the hardest journey to complete. And so I always talk about, you know, it's not so much just mindset. It's not just so much heart set. You know, those that reach the highest level of performance are those that understand whether they're hardwired intellectually or emotionally and learn to actually tune in, to listen to both messages and really can balance and regulate between the two. You know, right. If we see ourselves as physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual beings, right, those four areas and categories, then really it's a matter of seeing ourselves more clearly in each one of those categories so that holistically we can move forward and grow. But yeah, I mean, to your whole point, what I realized is that when I shut off physical pain because my demands exceeded my ability to cope, the pain was literally too high. So I shut it off. I went into my head. I created a mental narrative that served me very well for about 13 years, but it also bit me very, very hard when I was about 20. And so the reality of it is I had to really start to peel back the layers of armor that had been developed over the years due to the pain that I had been experiencing mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And that's what really started to unwind because, look, human connection is what it's all about. And, you know, we have to see ourselves more clearly so that we can truly put ourselves in a position to connect.
You know, you hit a few things that I would love to be able to dig into. So, you know, obviously with what you've been through, I mean, I know a lot of people that, again, they do their 9-to-5. And you've said many times, if what you are doing doesn't light you up If it doesn't make you, if you didn't have to wake up tomorrow morning, what would you wake up to do? Like, what would you, what would light you up to be like, dude, I am up. Like, I am ready to do this. And we have many people, many of our listeners who absolutely love what they do, but it may not be living their full potential. So in order, obviously, for your best friend, for your wife, who I got to meet, which, I mean, you're right, she's a rock star, man. In order to get to that point, though, I mean, you have a huge, huge business, an uber successful business. How does one begin to get to that point where their wife, their spouse, yourself, or they, how do you get to the point where you can actually have a conversation like that, number one, and how can you receive it? So I want to understand what you guys did so she could say that and you could receive it. How did, I mean,
yeah.
What were some of the key steps to get there?
That's a really good question, Jake. And, you know, in fact, I don't think anybody's actually asked me that before. You know, I will tell you that a lot of our growth actually came after the decision to leave, truly. But after, we had a really solid foundation that put us into a really good place. And so here's what I believe patterned into that, because there was a whole lot of variables. To your point exactly, we had a very successful business. You know, I woke up at age 27, having realized that I'd accomplished everything I ever thought I wanted to accomplish in my life. I had the house, wow. I had the car, I had the money, I had the business that was growing, I had the connections in the community, I had beautiful kids, and like, and I don't in any way mean to like glorify that. Like, oh, look at me, I was so successful. No. Like, you know what? Like on the surface level, the reality of it is like externally, based on how the world defines success, I had it all.
Right.
But what it cost me was myself. I lost who I was. And I woke up at 27, realizing that I was lost. I was miserable. I wasn't living as the husband, man, and father that I always said I was going to be. And all of a sudden I'm running in circles with people making multiple six figures, seven figures, eight figures. And I'm looking around and I'm not the only one that's miserable. Right. I realized that so many of us had chased the what's of the world and really had contributed to losing who we were. And so I started to put myself back on that path. You know, we had our first son. 6 months after our first son, I realized that I wasn't the man, husband, and father that I always said I was going to be, because I always said that I was going to do everything in my power to provide everything for my family. Everything I was doing was for the benefit of them, but I never readjusted my life. So I was burning the candle at both ends, and I missed the first 6 months of my first kid's life like that.
Wow.
And fortunately, I had an aha moment that caused me to see it. And so I paused long enough to realize that I didn't have the intellect and I didn't have the people in my life to help me figure this out. So I went out and I hired my first coach. And that's kind of the beginning of the process. Now, a month into working with him, he said, Brian, you got to be doing this. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, Brian, you build businesses and you build people and you've been doing it your whole life. It's natural. Why are you not doing this as a profession as well? And I was like, yeah, whatever, dude, I'm paying you a lot of money. Not to tell me how great I am, but tell me to figure out these other things. Right. And so I literally told him to shut up. Like, I was like, stop. Like, I don't want more on my plate. I'm trying to minimize, not add. And he just kept trickling it for about 9 months. And I'm forever indebted to this man because he told me what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. And it was about 9 months later that I jumped in with both feet. And so the following 5 years, I was speaking and coaching alongside building and scaling this other business. And really what it led to in 2019 was I had some other health stuff that took place a few years prior to that. And my wife literally sat me down after we had a phenomenal weekend. And she ultimately, long story short, without giving you all the words, she wanted me to see myself the way she saw me. She wanted me to realize that I'd been operating from a position of fear in a way that she'd never seen me do before because of some of the health stuff that hit me. And she really wanted to pay attention to the fact that she wanted me to understand where she was placing value in our world. And it had nothing to do with the money. Wow. And so she said, I don't care if we live in a cardboard box in the corner, what we need is 100% of you and we don't have it. And the reality of it is like she said it in such a compassionate way that I couldn't not hear it. And the reality of it as well is that everything she said resonated because it was true.
Wow.
So she, again, was another gift where my best friend, my partner in life, told me what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. And so I had to go through a process of really understanding what was keeping me stuck. What was keeping me in my own lane? What was keeping me from actually going out and having the audacity to go try to impact 1 billion lives as quickly as possible to reduce the level of suffering on this planet? And it came down to a few really key things. One, regret minimization theory that Bezos popularized became very, very clear for me. We know that people who lay on their deathbed regret the things that they never tried more than the things they tried and failed.
Right.
Two, I didn't ever want my kids to see me hit the easy button. So just because I had established a business that was growing double digits year over year, which meant our income was as well, and we were continuing to be more and more financially free, I didn't want my kids to see me lean into something around financial security at the sacrifice of who I was or at the sacrifice of them, nor did I want them to see me hit the easy button. And in that 12 to 18 months leading up to that conversation, I had lost 6 men I knew to suicide. And so what I realized in that moment was if I'm in a position to to impact someone's life, to potentially save someone's life. Now, I want to be really clear when I say this, because I'm not vilifying this and I don't want anybody else to believe that this is my opinion on them. This is how I had to view myself and my belief and my world. I could not justify schlepping insurance if I had a chance to save someone's life. And so to me, I just had to really put myself into that position of understanding that, look, I was being held back by my shame. My shame was literally, I was swirling in my shame, drowning in my doubt, flooded in my fear when my wife brought all these to my forefront. And I had to spend 3 months going through a very intentional thought process, doing a 7-year cash flow projection, really understanding that, like, am I going to potentially sacrifice my family's safety, their financial security for the sake of me chasing my dream, right? I had to get over that. And I had to really understand. And then we put the wheels in motion and we never looked back.
Gosh, I mean, you brought two huge points up. Number one, the most successful people that I've ever seen in life to any degree, especially in business, everyone has a coach, everyone has a mentor. And typically most people have three that are in different categories of their life, right? And so many of us want cheerleaders, you know, and we do need to surround ourselves with people who light us up, people who are 1,000% on board for our success, but we absolutely need challengers. And it sounds like you had two huge challengers, but from an authentic, pure place, your coach and then your sweetheart. So that's huge. And then you brought up another point, and it reminds me of a quote by Les Brown. So Les Brown says, most people in life fail, not because they shoot too high and miss, they aim too low and hit it. And that's what so many people do is, and too low could be 7 figures. You brought up a point that has really hit me hard that I've been focusing on for the last 2 years of my marriage and my life, because I've realized that I've always known I'm imperfect, but to be able to understand, because I would say I'm imperfect and I would be shaming. I would shame myself, and shame only made me worse. And shame made me a wimp. Shame made me everything I did not want to be, instead of empowering me to see better. I would kind of, I know you talk about roots and triggers. Yeah. I would basically just weed whack the top of the roots and then they would come right back. And you had shared something the other day where you're like, hey, you know, I was loading the dishwasher and my wife, you know, had said something and she said it beautifully. She said it very kind, but it triggered you. So you have a relationship that you're able to communicate. Would you mind sharing that? Because this point of how you talk about this, this is the point of conflict that then eventually leads to gridlock. The Gottmans talk about gridlock conversations a lot. Would you mind sharing how you masterfully go over things that when you feel triggered, how to put a voice to it and then how to clarify that?
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that I had mentioned when you asked the last question is that most of our communication, connection and conversation, a lot of what you reference in my ability to communicate with my wife today, although we had some of the tools prior to me leaving, we didn't have them all because I had layers I needed to shed from that world that I was existing in. And so I just have to acknowledge that right out of the gate.
Thank you.
You know, I have to start by also saying that, you know, I believe that so much internal suffering exists in four areas. It's the things that are left unsaid, the things we lack permission to feel or say, the things we lack the words to articulate, or the things that are left undone. And so much of my life and my purpose at this point is to allow my truth to give others permission to live theirs, because those middle two categories are where so many people get stuck. They lack the permission to feel or say something, or they lack the words to articulate it. And so as we have tried to navigate and move forward in our family, what I've started to realize is not only did I have shame, but we unpacked in this last year and a half that I also was a very angry person. And when I say anger, I had anger buried so deep it could barely be excavated. Like 99% of the people in my world, when I told them like, oh yeah, I'm dealing with anger, they're like, what? You're an angry person?
You?
But the reality of it is that it was only being deployed on the three people that I cared the most about. And so when you pay attention to someone who's got a big personality like me, you spent time around me. I have a big energy. I've got a big, and it's just, it is what it is. I'm not saying it like, oh, look at me. I'm saying it like, it's just a
fact.
That's
who you are.
I have a strong voice. I have a strong energy. And the reality of it is if I'm infusing life into people by helping them discover who they are, imagine that flipped on the other side.
Wow.
What I started to recognize was the amount of damage I'd created in the three people's lives that I cared most about. Me, nobody else, me. Because of my triggers, because of those things that were embedded deeply in me. And I know that the things that keep us stuck are not the wrong strategy and tactics in our life. It's a combination of the emotional triggers, behavioral patterns, and environmental conditioning. So I had to give that little bit of context before I fully answered your question, because it's really important to understand that triggers are not your fault, but they become your responsibility as soon as you become aware of them. So let me give you an example of this.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah,
say that one more time.
Your emotional triggers are not your fault, but as soon as you become aware of them, become your responsibility. And the reality of it is, if we look back in my family, my wife and I, we can track back our emotional triggers 3 generations, which goes to show that they're generational, they are inherited, and they are literally passed down. So how are we supposed to expect that we can escape it unless we put the work in to start to break those generational patterns? They're literally so strong, the bonds are so strong that they transfer across generations, right? And so my shame was very deep. Now, I'm a big believer that we have to get to the root or root source or sources of those emotions so that we can start to move. But let's really give an example, right? So husband and father is my very top thing. That's the only thing I care about, truly. Now, I care about other people, but when I say the only thing I care about, it's the only thing binary, meaning if my wife and kids are not good, I'll walk away from everything. So what would happen? Anytime that narrative, that state, that place of being a good husband and father was challenged, I'd get defensive. So my wife would ask a very simple question, right? She'd say, hey, honey, what are we going to do with the kids this weekend? Totally uncharged, nothing behind it. But my shame filter caused me to hear it this way. Hey, honey, you've not done enough to be a good husband and father in the last week and a half or 2 weeks. And so how are you going to make up for it this weekend? And all of a sudden, I'd feel myself get defensive. I'd feel my chest puff. And I would then rattle off with a reaction that would create a significant amount of damage in her world that would say all the 10 things I'd done in the last 4 days to prove I was a good husband and father. Because I was going to show her. I'm going to show her. No, I'm good. When all she wanted to know is, what are we going to do with the kids this weekend? Right? So often our triggers actually cause us to hear things, feel things, and experience things that aren't accurate to the current moment. They literally transport us to a place where we don't actually have control and accurate observation of what's happening in the real time. So right. I'm a big believer that we have to become aware of those, right? We have to become aware of how do those things move in our world? Where have they created damage? Where have we started to do these things? And we have to own those things. What I know is that our triggers cause us most often to react, right? When we react, we create damage. When we create damage, we need to seek repair. Because if we don't, then all of a sudden there's resistance and energy drain, not only in our world, but in the worlds of those that we interacted with, right? Then we have to really go to the process of unrooting. We have to get to the root. I'm not going to go deep on this because of our time today, but the reality of it is we've got to get, just like you said, that root all the way out. Otherwise, it's going to continue to regrow in our world. Then we've got to learn, how does it move? How does it move through our body? How does it move through our world? And how do we move through it? So shame is, again, another area. And when I was working in the corporate space for so long, I talk fast, I'm loud. People would say, shh, Brian, you can't talk so fast. You can't talk so loud. And I'd immediately shrink down. Both a shame trigger, but again, with my wife, it moved through a really big way, and through another place, it caused me to shrink down small. We have to understand those so we can pattern them to the areas that we get triggered, because it's in those moments that we take back control. We can pause long enough to create new patterns and see observations. So now we're in a place where my wife can say something to that degree. And if I notice myself get triggered, it's my responsibility to recognize when I get triggered, because nobody else is responsible for that. So I have to then own, if she says something where I get triggered, I can say now, hey, babe, what you just said triggered me, and I don't think it's accurate to what you were meaning. So can you please repeat it, and I'll try to hear it more authentically. Otherwise, I think I can navigate forward in this conversation, but maybe we can pause this and revisit it later when I'm in a more clear place so that we can connect.
Wow.
The reality of it is we need to minimize and reduce the amount of damage that we create through our reactions. And the way we do that is to truly pull the trigger on our emotional triggers so that we can actually put ourselves in a position to respond. Because when we respond intentionally, we don't create damage. Therefore, it takes less energy from us to have to focus on repair. And we haven't created resistance and energy during the lives of all of those around us. And so I'm a really, really big believer that, yes, we may have created patterns. We may have created damage. We may have had all these things that are tied to our triggers, which, again, are not your fault. But if you want to live holistically to who you are, you want to focus on who you're doing this for, you want to do it concisely with those that you're doing it with, and you want to have a clear line of sight on who you want to impact in your business, life, and in community, you need to put in the internal work and go through your inside out method and actually put yourself in a position to respond versus react.
That is something that definitely hits home for me. I mean, literally, as you're saying, I got super emotional, because nothing matters more to me than my wife and my kids. And like you said, and it's so powerful to say, we've decided that if I'm going off that path of them first, then we're going to walk away from everything. And I get in that mode of justifier mode. I'm a major justifier, Brian. I justify to nobody's business. I have a PhD in justifying, because when I serve my family, like when I, you know, as my first line of in my career as a chiropractor, you know, every time I'm working on people, number one, I want to help people solve their problems. I want to get them on a path of health and happiness so they can be their best selves. But I do it so that I can take care of my family even more, so that I can have more time and freedom to be with them. So all those things are going through my day. So when I come home and I'm unloading the dishwasher, and my wife says, oh, hey, babe, a bowl's going on bottom, you know? And I'm like, oh, so what's the first thing I do? like, well, you know, I started getting frustrated. And she's like, oh, no, it's just, it's because it washes better. I'm not trying to, you know, be mean.
And that trigger has everything to do with how your grandpa looked at you when you were four, right? Like, I mean, yes. At the end of the day, like, that's the thing. And again, in that position, that's about what you just said with your wife, where she was attempting to help, right? Those things can also come across as control that we develop resentment for, unless you are able to diffuse those triggers so you can hear it accurately for what it is. Yes. That exact same situation used to happen. I'd be like, hey, babe, have you ever considered loading the dishwasher this way? And she'd be like, stop, I got it, right? Like, she'd think I'm controlling her, telling her that there's only one way to do it. I'm like, no, okay, I'll back off, because all I was trying to do was help.
Right. You know, and so having that awareness is huge. So in order to have a conversation like that, you had to have a conversation about that. So you have to be able to say, hey, babe, I want to be able to hear you. I want to be my best self. I want to be present. So you've had to schedule time and put in a lot of time yourself and together, because a conversation like that can't just be happening in the moment. You have to pre-frame and say, hey, like, here are some of my triggers. My wife and I, we created a trigger sheet years ago of all the things that have, and for, you know, big things she's been through. Like, here's the trigger. Why is it happening? Why do I feel this way? How do I feel? I love your concept of how does it move through you? What part of your body do you feel it concentrating on? And because that's a better way to look at it, to identify it, and to be able to say, like, hey, this triggered me, and I know that wasn't your, you know, most likely wasn't your intent. Would you mind repeating that in a different way? And instead of being angry. So with me, I've had a head injury, and I'm literally deaf in one ear and almost deaf in the other. And part of that injury allowed me, it messed up part of my understanding, my ability to literally take in information. And so for years, you know, I would hear from other people, it's like, no, you're not listening. I'm like, no, I am. Like, and so what I just had to learn was, you literally can hear. Well, I was doing therapy with my therapist a couple weeks ago, and she says, you know, I hear what you're saying. Like, in my knowledge, like, I didn't say that at all. And I had to go back and say, oh my gosh, you're right. Like, that's what I heard though. Yep. So how do you know to clarify? Because we only hear, it's just clarifying. So I love what you teach is repeating back what people have said using their exact words. And they'll say, yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. That's the meaning behind it. That's exactly what I said. Because sometimes we only know what we think. The world is exactly what we think it is, 100% what we think it is. I mean, have you seen those things going around on TikTok? It's the, you know, they have the two words, and the two words are saying, you know, if you look at this word, you hear it. If you look at this word, you hear it. That's exactly how the world works. So being able to move through that. So we have just a minute or two left, and I'm so grateful for this time today. Again, as you guys will see down on his corner, you know, at Bogart Brian, that's where you can follow him. We're going to put his website there. In order to truly be your best self, to save your marriage, we have a lot of people in our group, some phenomenal entrepreneurs who are exactly where Brian's been, or way above. They're in that nine-figure area of their life, but they're losing everything. So follow. Any last words when it comes to being able to continually to cultivate that relationship with your sweetheart by being your best authentic self?
Yeah. So what I find so often is that our most intimate relationships are sometimes the ones that we get most guarded. They're the ones that are closest to us. They mean the most to us. And so in some ways we actually even try to protect the relationship. And we think by guarding ourselves that we actually put ourselves in that place. I will tell you that the depth at which my wife and I have been able to go is that vulnerability is really the connector, right? Vulnerability is the antidote to armor when we are putting those things up. And so when we recognize that intimacy is actually rooted in vulnerability, and I don't mean intimacy just from a sexual perspective, I mean it from anything. Right. The reality of it is you cannot have the depth of connection with your intimate partner unless you are willing to put yourself in a vulnerable position. True strength actually hides behind vulnerability. And so often I believe that we need to really check ourselves and pay attention and ask ourselves, what are we guarding ourselves from? Right? Am I really on attack? Am I under attack from my intimate partner? Or is it my triggers and behavioral patterns and environmental conditioning that have made me believe that they're the enemy in this moment? I'm a big believer that everything begins and ends with you. And I'll quote one of my good friends, Alex Sharfin. He said about 6 months ago, I heard him say this. He said, if you're constantly putting out fires in your life and in your business, there's a good chance you're the arsonist.
Wow.
And the reality of it is this is true in so many cases. And so I would just ask everybody to pause for 1 second. When you start saying, oh man, my wife did this, or my husband did that, or I can't believe they did this to me, I want you to just pause long enough and try to convince yourself how it might have been your fault, where and how you could take ownership and responsibility for the dynamic of that situation and take all blame off of them. I'm not saying that that's always going to be the case, but if you can go through the exercise to at least seek perspective, perspective points us at what's important and allows us to connect at a deeper level. And so as it relates to relationships, if you truly want to connect, if you truly want to have that intimacy and you want to grow a solid foundation to build a life from, drop the armor and ask yourself, what have I done to contribute to the dynamic of this situation and where can I take ownership? Because when you can take ownership, you neutralize and diffuse the energy on the other side and you all of a sudden bring yourself to a place where you can move forward.
Man, vulnerability truly is the antidote to your armor. And accountability, a lot of people think accountability is liability. Well, if you dig deep enough and if you think that it's all on you, you will find ways to improve and you'll be able to put a voice to that. Brian, thank you so much for teaching us these incredible ways to go through our triggers, to navigate who we are so we can be our best authentic selves, so that we can be who we truly are meant to be, to live limitless potential. So thank you so much for being on today, you guys. Please follow Brian at Bogart Brian anywhere you consume social media. This guy is shaking the world, and I can't wait for you to make an even bigger impact. So follow him, learn from him, and let's continue to grow and change together.
Thank you, brother.